expository preaching with God-honoring music. First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking on an issue today, enemies within. We have enemies within the home, enemies within our churches, enemies within our nation. But ladies and gentlemen, if our nation falters, if it fails, if it falls, if it goes into total abandonment or bankruptcy, and we're right on that with $36 trillion in debt today, and with Trump trying to unfurl it and correct it, we're finding those that want to do anything possible to stop him from doing so. I'm looking at Proverbs 14:34. Reads in this fashion. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness is talking about being right with God, a right relationship toward God. Exalteth, that means to lift up, to glorify, to build up a nation. But sin is a reproach. It is a dishonor. It is a shame. It is an insult to any people. And we're finding that today, and because Trump is uncovering it and trying to reveal it and correct it, we have the socialist Marxist media, the socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party that's all in a, rage. In fact, when you listen to them, when you watch, when we all as a nation and a globe watch them, meaning the Democratic Party, during Trump's joint session to Congress speech just recently, we can understand very clearly, very quickly, their position of being somber and angry and hostile and rejecting every word that Trump stated. But ladies and gentlemen, he's uncovering the fraud and the waste and the abuse that's been taking place for years. Listen, I blame these agencies and the agency heads for what is taking place. But even more than that, it's the Congress's responsibility, because the House has the responsibility to do the oversight. The House will pass bills and passed by the Senate, then signed off by each and then the president's, whether it's yesterday or today or tomorrow. And then they never follow up. They never give the oversight to make sure that the funds go as they are designated to go. So therefore, these bureaucrats behind the scenes, down through the past 50 to 60 years, made a determination, we can do what we want to. Nobody's looking over our shoulders. Nobody's going to correct it. We can do what we want to. And then the crescendo of it all, when President Trump was elected November the 5th, 2024, before he was sworn into office January the 20th of 2025, Joe Biden determined that we're going to dump all the money and bankrupt America. For example, I'm looking at the headline that says, bigger than Watergate, how Stacey Abrams was gifted $7 billion of your money. Now, $7 billion was the tip of the iceberg. The total wound up being about $20 billion. But here's what the article says. Last spring, when America was sadly still under the former regime, Biden and Harris, via the EPA, funneled $7 billion into a ghost fund called the United Climate Fund. quote, this was all part of a $20 billion jackpot from the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund that was tracked in and tucked in so you could really find it, could not really find it, the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, and had nothing to do with the reduction of inflation. Nothing, nothing. It was a scam. They sold us a climate salvation, but it was really robbery. Where did the money go? This article reads in, a big black hole of legal fees, vague solar promises, and political insiders. For example, we find out that they were funneling cash to Power Forward Communities, which was tied to the former Georgia State Representative Stacey Abrams, Democrat. Before receiving $2 billion grant, she had only raised $100 in her organization. According to an EPA whistleblower, the money was an insurance policy against Trump ever being able to win in Georgia. All of it was a desperate cash dump before the clock ran out. They were giving it to their friends. According to Doge, D-O-G-E, blew the lid off this thing, calling it calculated theft. It, when the numbers were crunched, the $20 billion fund amounted to $240 per household. And then Stacey Abrams goes on in another article that I have here. Ridiculous theft. Stacey Abrams admits Biden's payoff went to Georgia voters. I'll read a couple of brief paragraphs and then summarize it for you as our listeners. Stacey Abrams, famous for running for governor of Georgia as a Democrat, losing and then turning into an election denier by rejecting the voters' results, that has been involved in a long list of controversial programs, including one where, as she described it, taxpayers, listen to this, taxpayers bought new appliances for the residents of a Georgia town so that their energy bills would go down. Pretty neat deal if you can line it up. Taxpayers buy new appliances and give them to you, and they can save you money. It was one of the egregious spending schemes that is being revealed that happened during Joe Biden's administration. Stacey Abrams now admits, listen, Stacey Abrams now admits to $2 billion that Joe Biden and the EPA fund gave her was used to buy votes, listen, to buy votes of people in Georgia by purchasing them, for them, new appliances. MSNBC does their best to whitewash this, but can't hide the huge pile of fraudulent spending Abrams facilitated. Social media commentators tried to explain it away, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just summarize in case you didn't get the gist of it. Stacey Abrams, with about somewhere between 7 to 20 billion, that was dumped in a brand new filed nonprofit organization. She had raised $100 for that organization. She probably put that in out of her own personal money. And then received this major mega billions of dollars dumped from the Biden administration. And they turned around then, not all of it, I'm sure they've got it squirreled away in other accounts now to hide it, but took the funds basically and to buy votes. They didn't say here's $100 or $500. They bought new appliances for different homes as an inducement for those people to vote against President Trump and for Kamala Harris in the 2024 election. Now, that's already been discovered. That's already been admitted. So my question is, where are the charges? Where is the trial? Where are the charges for treason? Where are the charges for theft? When are we going to claw that back? And yet we have judges across America, mostly Obama-appointed judges and Biden-appointed judges, that are trying to block President Trump at every hand of everything he's trying to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the enemies within. Stacey Abrams is an enemy of the state, an enemy of the nation, an enemy of anything that we call morals and ethics and values, an enemy of the Christian, an enemy of the conservatives, an enemy of any patriot in America. It's the enemies of the state. And she's not by herself. It is, we're finding it multiplied across America, and all of them so far we found are Democrats. So the question still begs to be answered, are Democrats real Americans? My answer to you is absolutely unequivocally no. I believe Jim's on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I've been following politics for quite a while. Whenever you were talking about all these massive bills and continuing resolutions that are being passed there, one of the things that's continually coming, has been brought forward by both parties, is line item veto and single item bill. And neither party has done anything to advance either of those agendas. That single item bill alone would, because, you know, they bring something forward like this Biden inflation thing that was really just, so each politician then gets to put his little pork project in there, and they pass it as a whole, so it's inefficient for the taxpayers, and you wonder why the graft and corruption is occurring in the system. And we're talking about, you know, Stacey Abrams, right here is a perfect example of it. Back when she ran against Kemp for the first time for the Georgia governor, it came out that this there was reliable sources that came out that she had problems balancing her checkbook and had issues with credit card and, underpayment, you know, basically overcharging her cards. It's just irresponsible on so many levels to allow politicians to be able to use taxpayers' money without any oversight, and that's been going on for a very long time.
Absolutely. If I could cut through the chase, the bottom line is we need to have single-item bills. By the way, this thing of having an omnibus bill, where there's multiple parts in it, where everybody has their little say-so, where they want to get their little chip of the money, as a former legislator from West Virginia said, the budget is a big barrel of money. I'm going to dive in and get all I can for my state. I've forgotten the senator's name, but that's what we see today taking place. What do you think about, with that being said, what do you think about what President Trump is canceling the $400 million a year grant to Columbia University? What are your thoughts in relationship to Mohammed Khalil? According to the House Speaker, he's the latest one that is the protester, and he has been arrested. Is he an American? Does he have the right of freedom of speech? Should he be arrested, tried, and caught for treason, charged for treason? What are your thoughts on that? Because it's one, he is a prima facie evidence of enemies within America, and yet the Democrats now screaming, don't arrest him, don't deport him, he's okay, he has the freedom of speech. My question is to you, Jim, in your opinion, does a green card holder, is he the same as an American? Does he have a right of freedom of speech? And even as a green card holder, if he has the right of freedom of speech, can he be a treasonous to undermine and destroy America and be on the campus of a major prestigious university and do that? What are your thoughts?
Well, I was under the understanding that he was here on a student visa. So any way you look at it, he's not a naturalized citizen of the United States. One of the things that people don't realize is, even if you're an American citizen and was born here like me, if you were to join the military there, you no longer have those rights that are afforded within the Bill of Rights. Your freedom of speech is taken from you. This individual's coming from another part of the world there. He's not a citizen. He's here fomenting aggression against Jewish students there. And it's one thing to stand up and say how you feel or how you think. I have the right to ignore you. And I'm the first one that's going to advocate for your right to speak freely. But the minute you walk into a theater and you shout fire, or you walk onto a campus and say, kill this individual because they're Jewish, you're not practicing what I would call freedom of speech. You're fomenting hate and aggression.
Absolutely.
That's a different item.
Absolutely. And Jim, along with that, he's Syrian-born. He's not American. He came on a student visa, and I believe on a deceitful student visa, which a lot of these prestigious universities will do in order to get the student body. And these international students come in, and they pay full tuition. They don't get a tuition break as in-state students would. So he came in, I believe he was in 23 on a student visa, 22, and then by 23 he automatically already had gotten his green card. Even Senator Ted Cruz said something is fishy with that, because to get a green card it takes years and years and years before you're qualified to go before the INS to be questioned about your status and your stand for America before you can get a green card. So he's married to an American citizen for his wife. He has a green card that somehow, some way, he was able to get almost overnight. And here he is now being the spokesperson for the Islamic Jihadist. And I've got documents before me now that shows his link with Islamic Jihadists, shows his link with ISIS, shows his link with everything that's anti-American, anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-morals, anti-ethics. And yet he's, and one of his speeches, he said, "I have freedom of speech. Come and get me. You can't do it." So they did. The old boy's now in the clinker in Louisiana, and his attorneys now, where did he get the mega dollars to pay for an attorney? His attorneys now are challenging, wanting his release, wanting him to be sent back to New York so that he could be tried there. I'm against it. He needs to stay in the clinker, as I call it, until he's tried and convicted, deported, or executed for treason. That's a treasonous act that he's committing. This article reads, top Republican officials include House Speaker Mike Johnson and President Donald Trump have defended the detainment of activist Muhammad Khalil, a green card holder who helped lead Columbia University's pro-Palestinian protest and who was arrested Saturday night and threatened more arrest would follow as he targets the university and the protesters. So $400 million money has been canceled going to Columbia University. Columbia University has been allowing the fomenting of the anti-American jihadists. Those are the enemies within. And Jim, that's what I'm saying. How do we, as Americans, as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, how should we view the enemies within? Should we embrace it and say it'll all go away? Or should we just sit back and relax, just as the one of the mayors in a town in New Jersey now says that it is... they're recognizing the Palestinians. One street's called Palestinian Way, et cetera, et cetera, where the citizens there have to listen to the Muslim Islamic call to prayer five times a day, where the street signs are in Arabic and not in American. We're witnessing, I believe, Jim, and I want your take on it, we're witnessing the demise, the undermining, the annihilation, the destruction of the constitutional republic called the United States of America.
Well, that's a difficult question. I mean, where is that fine line drawn at? Anybody who knows history, particularly during the 50s with the McCarthy era and the FBI during that period and their chase for to drive out communists in Hollywood throughout America, it's a real fine line. And the adjudication of those issues could be turned back against Republicans later on. One of the things that Democrats are notorious for is getting the Republicans to pass a certain piece of legislation and then turning around and beating them over the head with that legislation the next time they're in office. So, you know, as far as that goes with Christian, you know, proselytizing those that are here speaking the message of Jesus Christ is always a must, and hope for the best. But at the same time, you don't want to go too overboard, but you definitely want to rein some of this in, or else be accused of being no better than the Democrats are.
Yeah, well, we must rein it in. You look at all of Europe. You look at France. You look at Germany. Germany right now is beyond the point of turning back to a German citizenry. They're totally controlled by the Islamic jihadists. France controlled by the Islamic jihadists. We find nation after nation after nation, just like in America now, we've got enough of the enemy within that they can rise up and destroy our constitutional republic. In fact, I'll say this and let you go. The demographers in 2009 said that by 2050, America would be an Islamically controlled nation unless we get a grasp on it, get a hold on it, and turn it back now. That was in 2009. And I believe we're on the fast track for that. And we're seeing part of it with the enemies within. And the enemies within, I believe the Socialist Marxist Communist Party, called the Democrats, as well as those that are coming in now, the Islamic jihadists. So I'm concerned for our future, but we need to keep praying, keep looking up, understanding that God's still in control. But at the same time, God may be allowing this in America as his judgment against our nation for turning our backs on God. Jim, thank you so much, brother, for your call.
Thank you.
Thank you for your commitment and your stand. I believe Derby's on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, concerning the enemies within, I've said it on your show years ago, it is Congress. And the Democrats are all enemies, and the Republicans are accomplices of those enemies. Mm-hmm. Now, concerning the new deal worked out with Ukraine, this peace agreement, 2 weeks ago, everybody in Washington, Trump, Vance, you name it, were saying no more money for Ukraine. And now Marco Rubio goes to the Middle East or some Saudi country. And now we're signing an agreement to, again, renew aid to Ukraine, aid to that corrupt dictator who wants to kill Elon Musk. You know, Marco Rubio was the only cabinet member who was confirmed by 99 votes. I don't like that. I have never liked Marco Rubio. I don't care if he's Cuban or what. So he and Mike Waltz went with Marco, and he too was, a few weeks ago before being confirmed, advocating for more money for Ukraine. You know, and now everybody's calling Putin a murderer. Well, okay, he murders his political opponents, but there are many other murderers that are never called out. The NATO leaders, the European Union leaders, they are the murderers. They allow immigrants to come and rape and murder their own citizens. That's worse than murdering your enemy.
Well, one of the things, Derby, if I could jump in for a moment for the sake of time, we have Zelensky that is in there, that is a puppet that was put in there overthrowing a legitimately elected president for Ukraine, and through George Soros' funding put him in. Zelensky was simply we'd call it Hollywood, but it wasn't Hollywood in Ukraine, a very vulgar, vile, void of anything called morals and ethics comedian, and now all of a sudden he's president. And I am thankful to see the potentiality of the bloodshed stopping, but I'm with you. I don't believe we need to send another dime to Ukraine. I don't believe we need to send another jet to Ukraine. I believe the intelligence should have been shut off and forced them to the table to draw up some kind of agreement to stop the bloodshed. So I'm thankful that there is a potentiality with that. But one final question before I let you go. I'm reading articles where the USAID organization is given directions to order the workers to shred all documents, burn all documents, and to leave nothing behind for anybody to know what was done in USAID. Would you call that treason? How would you couch that?
Yes, we have a lot of traitors inside the U.S. government, whether federal bureaucrats or politicians or former politicians. Too many people inside the U.S. want to destroy the U.S. and side with the foreigners, side with the legal residents. Well, a legal resident still has allegiance to his native country. A legal resident has never pledged allegiance to the USA. So they shouldn't have the same rights as we who are citizens.
Absolutely.
As I said, when I was a legal resident, I never said the Pledge of Allegiance because I was a Cuban. But when I became a citizen, then I owe allegiance to the United States and no other country.
There cannot be the split allegiance. If there's split allegiance, it's not American this or a preface to prefix to American. It is either American or you're un-American. Either American or you're not American. And so I'm foreseeing the chasing down and following up on those that are burning, giving orders to burn the documents and shred the documents in any of the agencies that's now under the questioning of how the money's been spent. I believe that they need to be caught, tried, convicted for treason as traitors, and pay the price for that. Derby, thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Santiago is on the telephone. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
God bless you, Dr. Yablo. We don't have enough time, but I'm going to ask you one question. Why we don't make a fundraise on all those people that they want to free to speak? All right, we taken to Tehran or to Iran to complain and have free to speak there to see how they're going to happen. We should do. We should make everybody, all those universities, pick it up and put it in the plane and take it to Iran and let them make a complaint, free to speak there.
Well, Santiago, it's just like those that are stupid enough to wave signs the LGBTQ for Palestine, not realizing that if they go to Palestine, are back to Israel. The Palestine, no such place, no such identity as Palestinians. There's no such ethnic group in the history of the world. But if they were to go back, they'd have their heads cut off, or they'd be kicked off tall buildings. And yet they're waving the signs for Palestine. Queers for Palestine was one of the signs that recently was waved around. But when we find these that are marching and demonstrating at these prestigious universities and demanding that Jewish students not be allowed, it is a divisiveness in America. It is the un-American approach, and they need to be caught, tried, convicted, tossed out of America, green card or no. They are non-citizens. They don't need to have that voice in America. I'm a little bit weary, Santiago, with seeing what we are discovering, what we're finding out. And it's my prayer that it's not just finding these, but they'd be not just caught, but tried, convicted, sentenced, and put in jail and are kicked out of the nation. That's the only thing that will be proper justice for these that are un-Americans, the enemies of America today. Santiago, thank you so much for your call. Let's keep praying, keep looking up, asking God to protect President Trump as he continues. Ladies and gentlemen, one final footnote. While all of this is going on, our eyes and our ears are tuned in and listening and watching these things take place as the enemies within. But we still have major enemies against the church, against Christians, against believers. I'm looking at an article that says Los Angeles bans church worship on the beach. Church on the beach in Los Angeles County may have one of the prettiest sanctuaries in the nation. They literally worship on the beach, it's saying, but they've been doing that for 18 years, and now they cannot do so because they've been barred from doing so by legislation and regulations in some parts of California. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to keep praying, keep looking up, and recognize our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Do you rejoice with the angels? Or pout with